that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And Jason, I don't know if you can see the computer this morning, but it's doing an update or something, so I hope it don't go off and need to restart it or nothing. But
okay, well, I'll take a look at it.
Okay. And by the way, good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And John, are you out there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. So while Jason does that, I know I asked you to pray Wednesday night, John, but will you open us up to this morning in prayer too?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you and faithful servants, Lord, and we ask for the benefit of the remnant that you would guide and direct our thoughts today, Lord, and that you would put it upon your people's hearts to call in and talk about those things that are important to them. There's so much going on in this world these days, and Lord, we just want to look into the things that you want your people to know and the things that you want your people to understand, and we just ask for that guidance today, and we say, Lord, we know that there's when two or more are gathered in your name, that you're there also, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. So what is on your mind? Anything happened this week that sticks out? Or?
Yeah, it was interesting. You hear the headline, you know, horror as a patient wakes up in New York hospital with doctors trying to harvest her organs for transplant, and you don't think much of it. You think, oh, well, you know, they made a mistake. But the reality is, if you look into it, it's not a mistake. It's a business. And apparently what's going on is people who have checked on their driver's license that they want to be organ donors they basically declare you dead before you're even, your heart can be beaten and you can still have brain activity because it's turned into a multi-million dollar business. Just another example of how gold has gone to the top of the scale of value in this
human
country.
Human life at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's been going on for, I mean, that's actually been going on for quite some time. You know, I've heard some horror stories about people that were organ donors that got into an accident, and next thing you know, they're cutting them up, harvesting body parts off of them.
Yep.
So if you sign that you want to be an organ donor, it's almost like if you're even close to death, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. That doesn't mean the state of Oregon, Kyle. That's the Oregon.
I mean, it's been bad where people have had broken legs and stuff like that. And next thing you know, they're unconscious and, you know, they're cutting them up for body parts.
Oh, wow.
You know, what's interesting, though, too, is they don't really care if those things are tainted with AIDS or anything else. It's all about the money and the money the drug companies make in the, I guess it's a huge drug cycle to, they give you to help defend the new organ being transplanted. Apparently, in this case, this young lady had taken a concoction of prescription drugs that they said had killed her. But the reality is all those organs were tainted with that drug cocktail, and they were still harvesting them ready to... They had people on the operating tables in the other parts of the hospital ready for those organs.
Wow.
Yeah, they're killers, they're stealers, they're destroyers. That's what they do.
Right.
You know, it really puts in perspective what the Bible says about them, you know. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that just, they just can't believe that. They can't believe that anybody would do that, you know. And, you know, you're going to believe one way or another.
Well, it takes a lot of deprogramming to make a lot of the ones believe that don't believe, and they haven't had the deprogramming that a lot of us were, you know, able to have. Because, you know, I mean, when you think about it, if you're somebody out there that never heard some of the truths that came out of this ministry by the pastor, forget Bible truths. I mean, don't forget Bible truths, but I'm not talking about Bible truths. I'm just talking about society truths, you know, where the they and the us and the aliens among us and them likes. If that's never been revealed to you, you are in the dark and you can't believe it. You know what I mean? You don't understand that somebody that might be living right next door to you is a they. You know, I mean, you might think your whole life that you don't like them very much, or that, you know, you don't have a whole lot in common, or whatever it is you think, but you don't really understand, you know, without things being revealed to you that...
Instead of you realizing that they're the ones that have a problem, you think you have a problem because you don't like this.
Yeah, person. I'm just not a very nice person, I guess, because
what's wrong with me?
There's something about that. There's enmity between me and him, and you don't realize that enmity goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you know what I mean? But anyway, so it's tough, you know.
Yeah, well, somebody who just watches the mainstream media and CNN and stuff doesn't understand anything. They think that life's rosy and
the economy's,
you know, our government.
Obama's great. And
yeah, exactly. I'm dealing with a little bit of that.
on another line along the same thing that you're talking about there, John, is now I just read where they're growing up. I think it was a human liver.
Oh, good morning, Tim. Yeah.
On a mouse or something. So obviously they're not getting enough quantity, even killing them early. So now they're going to grow them on chimeras or whatever.
I saw that too. Stem cell
pigs and stuff like that, putting pig parts in people. And
well, and that's another way they've tainted our food supply through that same greedy method. Is you know, there's a lot of the hogs there that they have introduced or recombined DNA with human DNA. To make those rejections less likely. And here, not too long back, they were releasing that hog supply with the human DNA in it into the food supply.
Yeah, well, all you have to do is I don't know if you saw yesterday, but there was a big pro pro-life rally there in Austin, Texas, and they're talking about banning abortion after 20 weeks, and there's these brain-dead liberals that are there to defend that. Well, that's because they're defending the work of their father, the devil, that's sacrificing of those children to Moloch. And I guess they've proven that after 20 weeks that the fetus feels pain. So, you know, that's their goal, is to inflict pain on God's people.
Well,
but, you know, instead of fighting for the morality of banning abortion 100%, you know,
exactly.
The Republicans are on the same side as the Democrats, but all they do is they'll meet you in the middle. But, you know, it's still evil.
Well, there's a
people,
lot of those. Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of those quote-unquote Christian groups out there that are supporting that 20-week ban, too. And it's like, well, it's better than what we have now. So that's
yeah.
what their thoughts are. And yeah, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yep. Rat poison's only 2%.
Well, the telephone number here is 307-745-5913. If you call in, we'll pour you a cup of coffee and we'll let you say what's on your mind. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with things on their mind. I'm going to read a few verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at the top. It says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God." And then verse 5 tops it all off to me. "Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." And then it says, "Avoid such men as these." Well, we'd have to be avoiding a lot of people, don't you think?
Yeah. You could read that every day, you know?
Yep, it's a fact.
And it definitely fits.
Yeah, we walked around downtown last night. They're having the Jubilee Days in Laramie. You know, they have them every year. And,
oh, man.
And a lot of times we don't go, but, boy, you can read these verses and you see it everywhere. But, hey, let's go to the phone lines. Let's don't go to the phone lines. I guess they didn't hang on. But last night we walked around, me and my wife walked around, and you know, I mean, there's some decent-looking people, but there's some that, you know, you avoid such men as these, is what it says. And let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Carl. This is Tom in Montana.
Okay, Tom, hang on. We're going to pour you a cup of coffee.
Morning, Tom.
Oh, that sounds like a hot
good
cup.
Good morning, man. How is everybody today?
Good.
Abundantly blessed, brother.
Oh, same here. You know, we have a corporate religion in this country anymore. And what does the corporate religion worship? They worship dollars. And so they will do anything to make or steal a dollar from anybody.
It's true.
But we are motivated for something other than gold and money. And they just do not understand us. And it is a craw, it sticks in their craw that we aren't motivated for money. We are motivated in a different fashion, and they do not like that because it shows what a hollow god they have.
Yeah. Well, that really is, you know, not all of it. That's where they get a lot of their power is from that. Their precious, whatever they find is precious, which is gold and silver and cash and whatever else. Or we get our power from Jesus Christ because that's what
Amen.
Is precious to us. And you're right, they hate that. They hated it back when he walked on the earth and was healing the sick. You know,
the root of all evil is the love of money.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, good, thank you, man.
Good points, Tom. Anything else?
Up here. Good to hear from you guys.
You getting any rain up there?
Oh, we had 1700s last night, and so it's kind of slowed hand down, but we have a tremendous hay crop. since we prayed the middle of May, and it has just turned around in the last 45, 50 days.
Great.
Praise God.
Completely different country than it was 50 days ago up here.
Helps with the fires too, don't it, brother?
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Pardon me, John?
It helps with the fires too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We still got a drought down here south Colorado, and it's burning up.
For you too. So, well, take care, man.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep, good to hear from you.
Yep, you too. And the telephone number again is 307-745-5913. Boy, did you see those cars sliding down the mud there down south of you guys?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you didn't? They showed it on the Weather Channel all week, you know what I mean? You know, they get those big rains and after they've had those fires, and there's nothing to hold the water and the mud down. And yeah, it was taking car. I forget what road it was. They're not too far out of Colorado Springs. But yeah, there was people riding in cars just like they were, you know, just like they were in a boat, you know, going down the road out of control. They were saying how lucky they were. They weren't flipped over and drowned, but it was quite a ride for some.
Yeah, we had, apparently over the 4th of July weekend, torrential downpours up there in the High Park fire area. And, when I was coming down from Steamboat, I think it was Saturday, you could see that the mudslides that had taken cover of the road, you know, were pushed back, and you could see the hillside was just devastated.
Yeah, they had, I talked to some people that were up there, and they said that there was places where it was 6 foot wide, or 6 foot deep and 25 foot wide, and it just came through their property and was just nothing but just mud.
Oh, wow.
But deep, 25 foot wide, and I mean, just took everything out that was in his path.
Yeah, that'll push a house off its foundation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine the weight that's behind that? I mean, they said, you know, it was a couple hundred feet long and just came through like a snake going through a piece of property. Just whoosh.
You know, I bet you your insurance don't cover that either. They probably call it flood.
They probably do.
Even though it's a result of the fire.
Yeah, you can pay for that for 30 years, and then when it comes time to get a little of your money back, this, oh, I'm sorry, you're not covered under that.
Yeah.
One time they did that to us, and the claim was denied because it was an act of God, and I remember saying, well, what is it?
Exactly. Good point. You guys will get a kick out of this. Yesterday, here in the local paper, there was an article about this, you know, this Christian school that I'm involved in, and one of the men on the board there, Jay, you guys know who Jay is, but anyways, he had spoke to the reporter and given him a long interview, and imagine that, when it came out, it wasn't quite what he told him. So I sent him a text yesterday, and I sent the rest of the board members, and most of them think I'm crazy, but anyways, I said, Brother Jay, looks like you have to learn the hard way not to cast your pearls before the swine, lest they turn and render you asunder. And he understood it. And I said, you know what? It may not be the reporter. The reporter may have wrote the best article ever and totally praised the Christian school, and it may have been, you know, beneficial. But you got to remember who runs that newspaper,
yeah,
that rag newspaper that always misquoted Dad and threw him under the bus until he finally realized not to cast his pearls to the swine. And that editor is the one that makes the decision of what gets in that paper.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's how we all learn, you know, is by, you know, our mistakes anyway. So that's,
but I said,
that's good for Jay.
I said the good news is Romans 8:28 still there. I just looked it up. The Lord works all things for good for those that love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose.
Yeah.
And we had some prayer, a little bit of imprecatory prayer, binding that from having any negative effect. And I, you know, over the years, all the things that were negative said about this ministry and about our pastor basically just helped promote it.
Yeah.
So I thought you guys get a kick out of that.
Well, and that always raises the credibility of godly things and of you in the eyes of those people too, because it's like, wow, it's just like John was saying.
So, no, not really. They just think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I'm all right with it.
You're good with that.
Yeah, when you're living in an insane asylum, you know, you want all the crazies to think you're the crazy one, so you don't want to just fit right in, so that's good.
Well, they just came out with some new study in France that they did over here, and I've seen that this morning, and they were talking about the fact that the conspiracy theorists were actually sane, and all of the government dupes and everything were the insane people. That was what this new study was showing. So I was like, oh, okay. It's funny how they just change the way the wind blows. I imagine that had to do somehow with discrediting Snowden or somebody like that, would be my guess.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, when you look into that Hastings death. Apparently he lost control of his car and hit a palm tree in California, I think it was. And
the engine was like, what, 100 yards behind the car or something, or 300
yards? Well, 100 yards the opposite direction of where he hit the tree.
Yeah.
And then they said the fuel tank exploded, but the back of the car is all intact. And the reports basically say that he was in contact with someone who was representing that Snowden, and he got into stuff like what really happened with 9/11, and also from what I'm hearing, that plans for a bigger plot than that, you know, in the future. So I'm sure they'll steal, kill, and destroy to protect their
secrets.
I wonder
if anybody thought about murder.
What's that?
Yeah. Wondered if anybody had thought about maybe that he might have been murdered.
Yeah, not very many people.
Yeah, you go back to the same problem we talked about before. They can't believe it. It's like, okay, there's all these people out there that's committed suicide shooting themselves twice in the back of the head. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, with a 44 mag, it ended up 50 foot from their body, and there were no
fingerprints. Yeah.
And you have all these people out there, society, you know, I mean, and it goes down to that, I forget what Pastor called it, but it's that, you know, it's that chain of events, you know, where the social is related to the economical, and the economical is related to the political, and the political is related to the religion, you know, and the religion is the religious leaders, and then it all goes back to, well, why do you have the stupid religious leaders you got? Because that's what the people want, you know what I mean? And it's a great, big, huge, insane asylum is what it is.
Well, and, you know, Peter used to say, and it was such a great example, he'd say, people say, oh, I can't buy that, you know, and... or I don't buy that, and whenever you look into these things, it costs something, you know, to find...
You pay a price for believing the truth.
You bet.
Or for the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the people that say that, most of them, don't even realize how much truth they're saying when they say it, you know, I mean, and because it really is because they're not willing to pay the price, you know. I mean, they're kind of just using it as a saying, but there's so much truth in that.
Yeah, when you tell people,
just kind of switching gears a little bit. You know, this week Twitter came out. You know, social media—that's what Twitter is—and they agreed to start anybody that made any racial remarks on their Twitter accounts or tweeted anything racial, they were going to turn it over to the government for investigation. You know, and just talk about, you know, how they keep, you know, just this gradual, I mean, and it's not even so gradual anymore. It used to be a gradual invasion of privacies and, you know, removal of rights. But, you know, now it's getting pretty bold out there. I mean, when they just, you know, they have all of these, you know, disclaimers beforehand where they couldn't release anything, they wouldn't release anything, and, you know, it's freedom of speech, and they pushed that really big when they came out, and now they're coming out and saying, well, you know, racial stuff, that's different. You know, like, if you say anything racial, you're a bad person.
Yeah, well, look what they did to Paula Deen.
Well, and that goes, I was just sitting here thinking the same thing when Jason was saying that. Then we find out that they've kept all those records for the last 10 or 15 years. And, you know, there's a possibility that you might even end up in trouble for something you said 10 or 15 years ago, just like Paula Deen did. I mean, that was clear back
40 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, more than a day or two ago. And it used to be slow, like Jason said, and the word we don't hear very often is the word anymore, like creeps. You remember, I know when I was younger, people say, well, they're a real creep, you know. Well, they were creeping along, and they it was a gradualistic takeover, and now they're doing it in leaps and bounds.
Yeah. And it's true, they were creeps, the creepy crawling things, you know. I mean, that's what they were, snakes. Yeah. Well, the telephone number again is 307-745-5913. Maybe you got something really exciting out there to share with not only us, but everybody out there that's listening. So give us a call. Nobody got nothing going on right now? I don't know if you noticed last few days when you've been up here, Jason, but the grass is growing good here too. I think we're going to get even more bales than we got last year, so that's good.
It is. Grass is growing.
We're
sun's
getting
been
these
shining, been hot.
Yeah, we're getting these thunderstorms at night, you know, that wet it down, you know, and that's the perfect time to, you know, if you got a yard at home, that's the perfect time to water your yard, is after the sun's going down and everything, and then it moistens the ground, and then it gets hot, like you said, during the day, and it's taken off. When Richard gets back from his little siesta and R&R and wedding and everything he's got going on, when he gets back, we're going to get the hay in, and I think we're going to be like Tom. I think we're going to have a great, great crop of hay, so that'll be good.
Praise God, because hay prices ain't gone down much. Still droughts all around the country.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Cows still eat as much as they ever did. Yeah, did you guys see in this Zimmerman deal where they're talking about, if Zimmerman's found innocent, how they're going to go attack the white neighborhoods and
yeah, they're making a big deal about that.
And, if you've looked at a picture of Zimmerman, we kind of brought this up last night a little bit, but if you look at a picture of Zimmerman, he doesn't look white, and so...
Well, he's not. His dad's Hispanic.
Well, actually, his mom's Peruvian is what we've kind of... Somebody was saying last night on the show.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. it's a real issue of confusion there. Or misdirection, at any rate.
Right.
Well, not really.
Well,
I mean, it's just like, you know, who do you... Everybody has these people they blame, you know, that they've hated their whole lives. You know, it's enmity is what it is. So they're going to take everything, every reason, everything that pops up, and they're going to blame the guy they've always hated, you know, the one that they have enmity. And that's really what it boils down to. There's just a huge enmity going on between the DNA in our bodies. I mean, there's no getting around it. Sometimes I remember talking to Peter and Jason about it years ago. I mean, sometimes you can feel it when you walk into a room, the hate, you know, and you have no reason, no other reason for it than, you know, we were born that way, to hate each other, you know. And that's just it.
Well, if you follow that trial a little bit, I haven't really followed it too much, but they kind of slam it down your throat. The interesting thing is the judge, who apparently... looks a lot like Chris Farley, and it's a woman. But anyway, she actually land blasted the defense before they even rested their case. Something that's just not, you know, proper court protocol. And then while the defense was presenting the case late at night, about 11 o'clock at night, she just got up and walked out, never said a word, and. I don't know. It's just there's no justice anymore, and there's no.
I guess I didn't realize that they had a woman judge on there too. But one of the other interesting things that Jason and I found yesterday was the fact that the jury is all women.
Yep, all women.
So,
well, they're proven now that right after it happened, there was no grounds to arrest him, so they released him. You know, Zimmerman.
Right.
Well, the Obama administration sent through the judicial. Department, Eric Holder, sent a group of people down there to incite racial tension.
Sure.
And once that tension was raised, you know, with the rioting and everything else, then they arrested him.
Well, and the other
so you got mob rule.
Yeah, the other thing is, in all honesty, it's like a kind of a non-event. I mean, basically, those things happen like that all over the country, I bet.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. And it's been propelled to the front and, you know, blasted up to some national attention level that's, you know, it's just another manipulated extremity.
Well, welcome to democracy. You know, what we should do is go throughout the world and try to make everybody Democrats, you know. And that's what they're doing. You know,
yeah.
And the people just, man, they're so asleep. I just, you know, all you do is shake your head and say, wake up, you know. And unfortunately, God wakes up the ones, well, fortunately, he wakes up the ones he wants, you know. But the ones he doesn't want, I guess they're just going to be asleep till this age ends anyway.
They don't want to pay the
yeah. Yeah, they don't want to pay the price, exactly. But, you know, there's only one reason why, you know, I'm willing to pay the price as much as I am, which is, you know, in the realm of things, you know, 10 years from now I might look back and say, I wasn't willing to pay the price at all. But as much as I have to this point, there's only one reason why I've did that, and that's because, you know, God put it in me to do it. You know, it's nothing I've did, you know. So, really, the ones that aren't willing to pay it, you know, we should look at the bigger picture and just, they haven't been called, you know, I mean, for whatever reason. And you can beat your head over and over and over, and you can feel bad about yourself for not being able to explain it to them or help them. But sometimes, you know, most all times, you know, if you help wake somebody up, it's not you doing it anyway. It's God working through you, so...
Oh, and there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, it's been done that way over and over again throughout our history. You know, they play the same scenarios, I guess you'd call it, over and over again. And God reaches out and takes care of his people. So
he does.
That's the hope side of that, I think.
Yeah, if you look in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy, which is a great falling away, comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being a god.
Yeah, and on that note, you know, revealing the man of sin, the pamphlet we got here, you know, that is quite a revelation, and it's all about, when you get down to it, it's all about Satan seating himself, you know, in the temple, you know, which is basically your mind, you know, and that's where the battle's been. It's been in the mind. It's been, I mean, obviously it's been in the physical somewhat, but it's been in the mind. This country's been taken without a shot, being fired. It's been taken.
Where
did
we hear that?
Yeah, where do we hear that at?
Yeah, it's interesting. This week I was talking with a man who kind of goes like the wind. I mean, between him and his wife, they basically go, I don't know, I think they switch churches about every 3 to 6 months or something. And he was telling me how his son's reading this great book by a Jesuit priest about how good Buddhism is, you know, and I'm thinking, what in the hell is wrong with you? And I just told him, I said, you better be careful. You better pray that full armor of God on, because you start looking into these other gods. What is the first commandment? And he couldn't even tell me that, but I said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I said, you're going to create a conduit to demons. And
wow.
And he thinks I'm crazy, but then I told him, I said, I could tell you stuff about these Jesuits that you wouldn't even believe. And I told him a few things, and then he started to scratch his head and think a little bit. And Lord willing, I'm working on an article about the Jesuits and the evils of that organization.
What's a good point you said, that he's like the wave of the sea, you know, I mean, because our hope is based on Jesus Christ. That is the anchor to our soul, and without that, you know, you're going to be tossed to and fro, wherever the wind blows, you're going to be going that way. I've known people my whole lives that did that, you know, and it's because they don't have the true hope, you know, and the expectation that's going to come with it, you know. They're all looking for this gravy train life, you know. Well, it'd be nice to have a gravy train life, but that's just not the way it's set up, you know. I mean, like the Apostle Paul says, if our hope in Jesus Christ is only in this life, then we are most men most miserable. We have to have that goal, you know, which is what the whole Bible is all about, is that final destination goal. And with that hope, then you have the, I mean, all these people that we've all known, you know, and I know Tim and Jason and John, I know you've all known these wave of the people type people that go where the wind blows, and none of them are as happy as somebody who's grounded in the truth, you know, in Jesus Christ.
No. You know? Well, it all goes back to the proper order, too. If he was the man of the house in the proper order, he would decide where they go to church, not his wife every 6 months changing where they go to church. And I've told him that over and over, and he's just at a point in his life where he's like, well, yeah, but it's been that way forever, and I can't change it. And she despises me. Like, every now and then I'll run into her at lunch, like when I take this man out to lunch or something, and she despises me because she knows I know what she is, and she's a Jezebel.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, this poor man's worked hard his whole life, and he's 70 years old and starting to, you know, show it. And he still works hard, and he has nothing to show for his whole life because everything he makes, his wife and his family have just consumed, and they want more.
It's never
but
enough.
It's his own fault. The reality is, it's his own fault.
Wow.
Well, and the way divorce is nowadays, where it's just common and everywhere, you know, he's probably deep down inside, he's afraid if he tells her no, or we're going to do this, that'll be what's next in line for him, because people just take, you know, that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? It's just, it at a drop of the hat, you know, they're going to the lawyer saying, I want a divorce, you know, and so, you know, instead of fearing God, he fears that too. You know, I mean, it's just a big circle of...
Well, the reality is he'd be better off.
Yeah, that is reality.
Because she is a terror. There's no doubt in my mind. New York, not sure if there's Jewish influence there, but definitely Edomite.
Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Calvin.
Calvin here. I don't know if I have anything to add to this, but I woke up in a worse attitude. I'd been down to visit my Canaanite daughter-in-law and son. Had dinner with them, so I came home with a real case of blues. Now, I think the reason we got to go back to the reason that they hate us is because God's law is written on a white man's heart.
Amen.
And there's nothing they can do about it. We know who we are. And that's the way it is, you know. And the other thing that's funny, a buddy of mine in Tennessee read me a little blurb he got on the internet, I guess. Gal saying, lamenting the fact she isn't married is because all of the husbands that she's seen around, their wives are carrying their nuts in their purses, you know?
Exactly.
Exasperated. She said, I'm waiting to see a man, a real man. And I think there's a lot to that. Well, anyway, it's an interesting program he had last night, Jason. At least parts of it were very, very informative. I enjoyed it very much.
Lovely.
And I don't know what else to add to this conversation, but just keep the faith and read Obadiah. I enjoyed that. I read this morning, and it finally got me out of that attitude that one day we're going to wake up and they're all going to be gone.
Amen.
God bless.
Yeah, Calvin, also, to think, you know, I think about what you just said about the law of God written on the white man's heart. Well, actually, it's written on the Israelite white man's heart, because Obadiah and the rest of the Canaanite cursed people and the Edomite cursed people and the Amalekites, they're white too, you know. And some of that enmity that I was talking about earlier, when I go to some place and there's just complete enmity between me and somebody else, it's usually not a colored person. It's usually a white person, you know, and it's one of them.
Well,
it's one of them that you read about in Obadiah, you know.
Yeah, that is true, and I was referencing in my mind that those who were born of the water and the spirit, I guess I ought to clarify it more for the
Yeah, well, because of somebody who's just listening out there, they'll think that we're just saying all white people are great, and that's not the case at all.
No, that's not the truth, because you got a lot of guys that are supposed doctors harvesting these organs because there's big money in it. I mean, you're talking serious money.
Yeah, billions. It's $1 billion, multi-billion.
Yeah, $300,000 to $400,000 each or more, up to $1 million a piece for some of those hearts. If you have the ones with the money, they'll pay anything to get it. And they'll take somebody who's alive and take it out of them.
What a racket, huh, Calvin? They poison us in the food and the water so that we get sick, so the organs fail, and then they make billions on trying to sell you replacement organs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's one thing. When they first started that, do you want to be an organ donor? I said, no, I think I want to go. What's left of me, I want to be put in the ground.
Amen.
Just the way it was when it started out, but a little bit more mileage on it now. Okay, God bless you guys.
Thanks,
I'll
Calvin.
Talk to you later.
God Bye-bye. Bless you too, Calvin.
Well, and it's kind of going along with what Calvin was saying there. It's kind of obvious they call us goyim, you know, that Jews do, and that means like cattle. And then they take you in and cut you up, you know, die. So they worship money, and everything's a business model to them as far as what they do.
I found it interesting this week too. If you see, Bill O'Reilly was coming out on a big rant on TV, and apparently they didn't shut the camera off soon enough, and he was exploiting, and he was raving that anyone who would dare say that homosexuals should be put to death should be jailed, you know? And I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I like his new rug, too.
Has he got a new one?
Yeah. Didn't even look like him.
Obviously, it doesn't hide it that it's a rug, huh?
No, there's no way you can. I mean.
Yeah, these guys that always, you know, they always act like they're on the other side and always for good. You know, it always comes out what their true colors are.
You know? It does. Yeah, even well, you know, Glenn Beck, obviously we know what he is, but it's funny how he will just stand tooth and nail for the queers, you know. Oh, I defend people's right to do whatever they want. And I'm thinking, you idiot.
Or you queer.
Yeah, possibility.
You never know. I mean, there's a lot of closet queers running around there.
There is, yeah. Yeah.
Not as many as there should be.
But
I like the part. I'm really glad that Calvin brought up the Obadiah. Obadiah is an excellent read. I just got done reading Obadiah just recently. And, you know, one of the parts of Obadiah, it really does can encourage you, especially when you got eyes to see and ears to hear, and when you know who they are, and you know who we are, and you know what the house of Jacob is, and when you know what the house of Esau is, you know, it is one of those really encouraging scriptures. I like the part, I think it's always been my part, 17 and 18, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, that was a prophecy, and that was a prophecy that is gone to pass. 18 says, then the house of Jacob will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau will be a stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. You know, and that's a truth, that's a prophecy, that, you know, is going to pass. And you know, I believe that that's one of the prophecies that we'll see in our lifetime. I think that, I believe that we'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's prophesied that it's going to happen. We know that it's happened. It's the words of the Lord. And
well, and how much in the media are they always talking about ELEs, extinction-level events? Maybe the extinction they're worried about is
their extinction.
Oh, it is, definitely, yeah.
You know, and you look at, you know, I mean, they're scared to death of fire. And they're scared to death of, you know, so many, it's these catastrophes that are going to take place, and you know, they give them so much hype and so much time on the news media, but it's something that you know, that fire that's going to come across, when it sparks, is all it takes is a spark. And when it happens, and, you know, when is all it takes is the Lord to flip that Bic lighter, and boom, you know, it takes the spark, and, you know, he's the one that's going to start that spark. And when it happens, there's going to be wildfire roaring across this land.
There's no water that's going to put it out.
That's right.
Hey, let's go to the phone lines, guys. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Timmy from Maine.
Hey, Timmy.
People like Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck, they're really closet red. They're the Trotskyite variety. And these guys, I mean, they're full of Satan. I mean, some of them are really demon-possessed. Some are closet faggots. Some are even closet pedophiles. Most of the politicians are absolute pedophiles. Some are even murderers. Most of them are, you know, communists. Maybe these fake conservatives are really Trotskyite communists. There's nothing, quote-unquote, conservative about them. If you really knew their histories, you'd find out how far left. Suggested reading would be the Judas Coats by Michael Collins Piper. It goes into the Trotskyite faction of communism. It's a good read. As far as those churches, I wouldn't go to any one of them. I'm an ex-Catholic, and I don't care if I ever enter one of them, except maybe as a way to oil it. They're absolute snakes, then. Look at Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. He came out of the churches. And in some of these churches, there are a lot of old people. And I mean, some of these old people, I mean, absolutely clueless. And these snakes like Rader or Ted Bundy or others, they're ilk, George Tiller, I mean, they thrive on this cluelessness. We had a predator here, so-called Pastor Bob Carlson, and he was a pastor of a Congregationalist church about 2 miles from where I live. We didn't know until the last minute that he was a predator, a sexual predator. He committed suicide. And the churches with old people, I mean, there are a lot of clueless old people. These predators and devils just thrive on that. And that's it, brothers.
Thanks, Timmy. And the phones are lighting up. So, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, you were talking about doctors harvesting body parts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the BBC just to try to get some sort of news, you know, although it's obviously very slanted. But then they, about a year ago, they ran over a period of time, maybe a month or two, apparently down in, I think it's in Tanzania, down in southeastern Africa or something. They were continuing a series of stories about albinos. Apparently albinos are pretty common down there. And they had to hide in fear of their life because the witch doctors down there, if they caught an albino, they would literally kill them and chop up their body parts for medicinal purposes. So I don't think we're any different than the witch doctors here. I mean, we got witch doctors here just like they do in Africa.
No, they just wear three-piece suits here. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Nice white coats. Who are we talking
yeah.
to?
All right, thanks.
Who is this?
Oh, this is Kent from West Virginia.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good points. And we got one more caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, man.
Hey, it sounds like a Missouri boy to me.
Ohio.
Close. How you doing?
I also wanted to mention, you were talking about the harvesting of organs. I read an email the other day. I was in and out this morning, so I don't know if you might have already mentioned it, but it is now presumed that you are an organ donor. So if you're laying out there on the highway and can't respond, why, they can just throw you up on the table and have at it.
Wow.
They lost your license, huh?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, we can't find his driver's license anywhere. So
close enough is good enough when you're making that kind of money.
By the time anybody can say anything, they've already got you all tore up, split up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to
life.
Say.
Yep. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
And we got about 10 minutes left. 307-745-5913. I guess that particular subject does get the attention of some, because it's just one of those things. You just scratch your head and ask yourself, how did it get to this point? You know, but But that's the way it is. You know, can you imagine, guys, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, our grandmas or great-grandmas, what they would have thought if they would have turned on the news today that we have and what's going on.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day what our pastor would think if he saw the degradation just in the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, because it's stepped up. I mean, it's like that snowball, you know, going down the hill. It is getting bigger and bigger and faster, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I mean,
and they thought they were in some type of Babylon then. I mean, nothing like it is today, but they really thought, man, the world's going to pot, you know. I mean, I remember hearing that when I was a boy, you know.
Yeah, they just showed an angle on TV.
Yeah.
I was talking to a man the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I think he was saying starting 40 years ago, he was watching everything that was taking place, and he's like, it can't go on for another year. He's like, this is, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was 40 years ago.
Wow.
And he said, then the next year comes around, he's like, oh, man, they're doing this and they're doing that, and he's like, it can't go on for another year. He didn't see how, you know, and that was 40 years ago, and he said, anymore? He's like, I just throw up my hands and nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for 40 years, but he's like, really? Now, I don't feel like it can, I don't think that it can go on for another year or two.
Oh, I know it.
I know, I tell
that's
myself.
Awful for falling asleep as the house, or the watchman over the house of Israel.
Well, and I tell my children a lot of times when they're like, well, yeah, we've been saying that, what's going on? And I said, well, all I can tell you right now is we're one day closer than we were the day before. And it's that day's coming when that, you know, like
yeah.
Jason said, that big glider is going to be struck.
Well, when that camel stuck its neck underneath the tent, we should have cut its head off.
Yeah. They should have said no a long time ago.
Yeah. But we got to remember, the enemies of God, they play chess and we play checkers. And they started playing chess 50 years ago and removed God from the school system.
Oh, well, it started a lot longer than 50 years ago, but...
Well, yeah, that's true. But people my age, that's what you look, at least seeing the start of it, you know, in the mainstream.
Yeah.
Well, and they're constantly becoming more bold, you know, I mean, we see that, so.
I don't know, it's hard to even fathom sometimes, but you look at this new Common Core curriculum that they're trying to put out, it's a full government design mandate for teaching curriculum that's going to go through all the public schools, and sad to say, even some of the Christian schools and private schools are adopting it. The reason they are is because there's money attached to it. So if you agree to teach this curriculum, then this is the money that, you know, you get to help better your school or whatever. But right now they look at it and they're like, well, it doesn't look bad. What are you, how stupid can you be? Rat poison's 2% poison, you know? So what are they going to do? They're going to get it into the system looking like it's not destructive, and then each year they're the ones that are going to dictate what's taught.
Yeah, and it's like a drug. It's going to be addicting because they get it in
the money.
There.
Yeah.
They get them attached to that money. They get them dependent on it, you know,
yep.
On getting their materials provided for them for free, on getting them to, you know, depend upon that check that comes along with using that curriculum in this Christian school. And pretty soon they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, you don't like it, we'll pull the plug. And the Christian school will not be able to survive on it without
that. Yeah,
but
the thing we forget, Jason, too, is those schools have been infiltrated as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, but it's still another way of taking them completely out of the picture.
Yep, exactly.
Well,
and then
what's the
difference?
If you're going to a public school and you're getting taught about, you know, homosexuality in, you know, kindergarten, or if you go to a Christian school and you talk about the homosexual lifestyle in kindergarten, what's the difference?
Yeah. Well,
I guess,
you know,
it makes the parents feel better.
Well, sometimes it can actually be worse because it has that, you know, image that it's good,
yeah.
And godly, you know? I mean,
yep.
So.
It's dialectic.
Well, you look at, and that's why these other guys, the members of this board, you know, they look at me like I'm crazy, but I just tell them, I said, hey, you know, there could be within our midst here, within the school board, only takes one to try to destroy. And when there's a school like this school, one of the only ones in the area that is not going to adopt Common Core, they'll attack you, you know, 10 ways to Sunday. In the last days, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. People look at you like you're crazy when you say that.
You know,
that,
if you, and if you think about the word crazy, too, I know we use that a lot. I used to say that a lot, you know, dealing with my family and friends and stuff. You look up the word crazy, you can trace that back to the word different. And if you were look up the word different and you trace that back, different, that's what holy means. Holy means to be different, to be set apart.
Huh.
And
interesting.
So if you think about it, you know, a lot of these prophets, they were looked at as crazy, even though
it's true.
They were
sure.
Holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't those kids that were chasing the prophet up the hill saying, go up, thou bald head, weren't doing it because he was like everybody else.
Yeah. Right.
He was something different.
Yeah. Good
well,
point.
And
that's just a pretty... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I know that I've watched, you know, I was homeschooled, my wife was homeschooled, I mean, but I've watched the homeschool curriculum creep even into this multiracial, multicultural, there's a lot of that stuff going on in there anymore that leaves you going, where did this come from? So, yeah, you look at the covers, there's a lot of things in it that is very disturbing, trend-wise.
Yeah, they don't leave a rock unturned, that's for sure.
Well, we're down to about 3.5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, anybody have any last comments? I'll start out. I want to go
keep
back
praying
to what Jason was saying about Obadiah. It's an easy read. It's a short read. But if you don't understand the truth about Israel and the difference between Jacob and Esau, you probably won't get a whole lot out of that. So, you know, my let's say, admonition today, or I'm asking you to find out what the truth is, the Bible history, God's history about who God's people are. And because that's where, you know, it all goes back to that. Not only the Garden of Eden, but, you know, the days of the flood and what came out of there with Canaan and Jacob and Esau's story. And if you don't understand that, you just miss so much of the Bible story. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out, but you have to want the truth, you know. And so, anyway, go ahead. Whoever wants to go next, got a couple minutes.
Proverbs 1:33, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, and I'd just like to say that, you know, what's going on right now, even though sometimes people can get discouraged, I can too, but what you want to look at is the fact that these times, these trials and this time factor and lag isn't about the enemy. They've already lost. God's promised that if you believe his word, he has lost. What's going on right now is the testing of the saints. And keep on keeping on. You know, don't back down. And you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness.
Amen.
That's a good point. I want to go back to what Kyle was saying, and you know, he was talking about Obadiah, and I just encourage people to read Obadiah, too. And, you know, a good one to read along when you're reading Obadiah is Romans 9:13, and it says, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And that really puts a lot of things in perspective when you read the book of Obadiah. You know, a lot of people out there don't think that anybody, you know, God hates anybody. Well, it's pretty simple that, you know, there is a they, there is an us. You know, and not just to see that, you know, God has his people, but he has there's a curse of people, too. And the They and Us series that we offer on the from Scriptures for America is a fantastic series. It's, you know, a series that, you know, you can learn so much from if you don't have that understanding. And another one that I would order along with that is the Two Gideon series. They really put a lot of those things into perspective, and they tie together really good. And, yet, you know, read Obadiah, you know, continue to pray the emergency prayers, and, you know, we'll be back here next week.
All right, guys, thanks a lot, and we'll go out with Snake Eyed.
Join us at church tomorrow.
Yep.
Next week.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.